What's going on, everybody? This is Marcus, and I'm here with my lovely wife,
Shira.
And we would like to welcome you to another episode of the Black Married and Debt-Free podcast. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Shira, how are you?
I'm doing good.
Okay.
You know, I don't know why I'm thinking about Eddie Murphy, but I almost said, well, I guess I'm going to say it anyway. It's another beautiful day in Zamunda. anywho, I maybe because we were watching Eddie Murphy movie last night.
Yes, until you fell asleep.
Okay, I don't know if it was me who fell asleep, but yeah. But it's been a good day.
Yeah, it's been good.
How are you?
Shira, I'm blessed. You know what I mean? I'm doing pretty good. No real complaints. Yeah, no complaints. Just, you know, kind of trying to recoup, use the weekend to recoup from a otherwise very busy work week as far as like my hours to work in graveyard, you know, deeper graveyards, kind of like I use the weekend to kind of reset, I guess. So it's been good. It's been good for that.
Yeah. And also, yeah. Marcus has been really, really busy this week, not just with work, but he has been doing so much around the house, and I have to give Marcus his props, and I think maybe we need to revisit the last podcast.
We can't gloss over that. Yeah, I'm very upset with our listener base.
I'm not. I love y'all.
We asked you all who we talked about, like, household load, right? And we kind of went deep into like who does what around the house, and it's my thought that we're close to 50-50, with maybe Shira being, you know, edging a little, but Shira says it's not even close, you know. And
no,
I was offended.
It's I don't want to say it's not close, but I think as far as household load in general, it would be me.
I think, no, Shira, you said something last week that you didn't say on the pod. Shira is of the school of thought that women in general have a load that can never be matched. And so she's taking that stencil and just projecting it on me and her situation. Like, well, I had kids. Well, I could never match that. So if
you can never match it. You can never repay me.
But
every
I didn't know.
Every time I look in the mirror, I'm reminded of the children that I bore for you. You wanted these children. Well, I mean, I want them too, but you wanted these children.
Agreed.
Okay? This is carrying on the Murray name. This is your name.
Yes.
This is your legacy.
And I'm forever indebted to you.
What'd you say?
I'm forever indebted to you for that.
Okay,
I agree.
Well, remember that when we have these types of conversations. I'm trying to say.
I agree. But I just didn't know that was being factored into the daily
chore load of the household. It
you
wasn't, but that is definitely the cherry on the top.
See what I'm saying? But anyway.
No. Keep going on this topic.
Yeah. I'm about to pull out the numbers. I'm pulling up the statistics. Y'all voted. We asked you to vote based on our last podcast, who has a heavier load. And we're going to give you the updated numbers now. Okay. Drum roll, please. All right. Thank you to all who voted. We really appreciate y'all. We love y'all. But I'm mad at y'all. Shira, 6-1 on the podcast episode that has music.
No, wait. Can you tell us the options?
The options were whose household load is heavier, Marcus, Shira,
or
it's pretty even. So the one vote for it's pretty even.
Okay.
6 votes, Shira.
Okay.
I'm upset. So 85%. Shira there. Now let's get to the episode where that does not have music.
Okay,
for those of you who don't know, we post 2 episodes a week, one with music to set the vibe, you know what I mean, for people who like that. And then we have a bonus episode where we take the music off for people who like consuming podcasts like that. All right. So on that one, Shira, we had a few more votes. 1 for me, you know what I'm saying?
Okay.
2 for you and 1 for it's pretty even.
Okay.
So I think it's safe to say Shira Wynn has won that.
I have won the poll. And let me tell you, we've been talking about these poll results all week. And so Marcus, he started doing extra around the house, y'all. He started doing lawn work. He out there doing fertilizing the grass, cutting the grass.
These are things I do, though.
No, he was laying it on real thick. So I have to just take my hat off to you, Marcus.
Thank you, Sean.
Because you was really doing the most. I said, the grass ain't never been this green. I'm coming home from work. He's like, yeah, I checked the kids' homework. The kids have already eaten. And I'm just like, wow, what's gotten into you?
Yeah, so, she doing extra.
So I'm going to give you we need a trophy. You get the trophy for this past week. And okay. So thank you. I appreciate everything that you done this past week.
Thank you, Shire.
To make my
Likewise.
Life easier.
Likewise.
And the things that you continue to do. Hey, I did look it up because this is not a new topic.
Okay. And we're getting to another podcast episode.
We are going
podcast topic, y'all.
We're not going to harp on this because I already won. So there's no need. But there's this article I just pulled up from the Harvard Gazette.
Okay. Okay.
And it's funny. It's parallel to the same conversation we've been having. I'm just going to share a clip from this article. It says, Moms and dads still struggle to get on the same page when it comes to housework. According to, there was a study done by the Pew Research Center.
Okay.
Moms, more than dads, say that parenting is harder than they thought it would be. And when asked about the division of labor, moms say they do more than their partner.
Yes.
And they're right. Women do carry more of the workload at home, and that's based on another study. And the burden only increased during the pandemic.
Okay.
So, but when dads were asked the same question, they said they share the work equally.
See, this is some bull.
So clearly there's a disconnect and it goes beyond just, you know, our podcast discussion. But anywho, very grateful for everything that you do, Marcus.
No, Char, likewise. You know, this was really all in fun. And I think one of our listeners who shared a comment said it best. He said, this was a really great episode. You know, I think it's not really about whose household load is heaviest. I think it's the beauty of how well you guys work together. And I couldn't agree.
Thank you.
I couldn't agree more.
We got an email too. We don't have to pull that up.
Yeah, we
but
got an email.
Took the time
to write us an email. We really appreciate
it. Thank you so much.
Yeah, I'm going to try to see if I can pull it up, Shy, since you didn't did that. Let me see what that email said here. Okay, it's from...
you don't have to say
Okay, we're not
going to
say who.
Name.
We're just going to say Joe. He's just going to say Joe.
Are you
Joe.
Shortening the name?
He says, hello, my name is Joe. I'm originally from Detroit. However, my family and I currently live in Tulsa. We've moved here for a fresh start. Overall, it's been pretty good.
Hold on. You're not reading the right email,
this is
are
the
you?
Whole wrong email. I'm going to snatch this part out the pod, Shy.
Hold on.
Sorry. Oh, this is a good one. Anyway, we'll snatch this out. But anyway, yes. So go back to when you was like, we got a person who left us an email. Start there again.
So we even got an email. So someone took the time to send us a message. And we read that message, and I savored that message.
Yes.
I savored it. I did. I did. So thank you so much. And, I mean, do you want to share a little bit of what they mentioned? And
absolutely. Says, speaking from my experience as a husband, Marcus has to take an L here.
Come on.
The wife absolutely has the hardest job in the household. It took me years to realize this. We now implement a bonus system in our household. We review my wife's performance. I like a performance review. Yeah, I like that. At home and at work biannually. Then a bonus is paid out twice a year. This definitely helps her feel more appreciated. And Ashara, I want you to feel appreciated. So maybe I'll give you a little bonus.
Now you shout know, out.
It might not be monetary.
Yes.
But it may be sensual. How about that?
I'll take a massage. However right, you cool, make it cool. work. But we definitely appreciate your email and message.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Well, Shire, let's get busy. Let's get on to today's topic. We're going to be talking about, this is going to be a really good one. You sent me this clip of a gentleman talking about young people having every reason to be enraged. at the current economy and the economy looking and going forward. But Sha, I wanted to play this little funny clip first before we get into some heavy stuff.
Oh, you got something funny?
Yeah. This one's pretty funny. Check this out.
Okay.
Debt they cannot control? That's why I developed this unique new program for managing your debt. It's called Don't Buy Stuff You Cannot Afford.
Let me see that. If you don't have any money, you should not buy anything. Sounds interesting.
Sounds confusing.
I don't know, honey. This makes a lot of sense. There's a whole section here on how to buy expensive things using money you save.
Give me that. And where would you get this saved money?
I tell you where and how in Chapter 3.
Okay, but what if I want something but I don't have any money?
You don't buy it.
Well, let's say I don't have enough money to buy something. Should I buy it anyway?
No.
Now I'm really confused.
It's a little confusing at first.
Well, what if you have the money? Can you buy something?
Yes.
Now take the money away. Same story?
Nope. You shouldn't buy stuff when you don't have the money.
I think I got it. I buy something I want and then hope that I can pay for it, right?
No. No million.
All right, so. Oh my goodness. Yeah, that was from an old Saturday Night Live special, and people in the comments saying, well, this is essentially Dave Ramsey's program.
Oh my goodness.
So I thought that was funny. But all right, Shai, let's get right to it. I want to play this clip, and we're going to react in real time to this article. Did you want to set this up, Shai? Or not this article, but this news segment. Did you want to set it up? Or just go on and dig
in. Yeah, you know, I didn't know you were going to play that funny clip, but I do see some correlation between that clip and what you're going to play now.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
That clip, it did sound very similar to the Dave Ramsey program. But with the Dave Ramsey program, whatever your financial situation is, I mean, it is really big on personal responsibility.
Yeah.
And taking accountability, not spending money that you don't have.
Facts.
And that's great.
Yeah.
But I think that this video here is really going to touch on
how that might not be enough anymore.
I think it's going to touch on the fact that there are other factors.
Yeah.
Right? There's systems and policies, mm-hmm. and just the way that society is that we have to navigate.
Yes.
And it's a little bit more complicated, right? Yeah. Than just don't spend money you don't have,
right?
You know? So I think that this video will touch on some cool points.
Okay. Let's check it out.
Yeah. So Scott, let's get into your book. But first, run through, if you will, I've seen you talk about this in speeches, talk about how the system is rigged.
And Shai, let me know anytime you want me to just go on and pause it, all right?
Yeah, so this is a clip from a YouTube video. And if you want to check it out, it's titled Young People Have Every Reason to Be Enraged, Says Algebra of Wealth Author.
Yes.
So there's a book behind all of this. Okay, go ahead.
So if you got $1 million, great. If you got $5 million, $10 million, even better. Life gets easier because the way our tax system's set up.
Yeah, we have a very progressive tax system until you get to about the 99th percent. And essentially the people who get most damaged by our current tax code, it's lower middle income households, their taxes have gone up slightly because of consumption, but not because of federal. The people that really get hurt are what I call the workhorses. And that are people who make an exceptionally good living, but it's all current income. And they live in a blue state. They might be paying 50 to 54% tax rate. I bet some of those people are on around this table right now. But if you can make the jump to light speed and invest in assets, stocks, housing, then your tax rate plummets. So,
Shire, that's interesting because one, we just finished the tax season. So I know everybody's either scrambling to finish their taxes or, you know, anyway, that was about 2 weeks ago. We finished that. But what he says is very interesting because, you get all these tax breaks for investing. Like, let's just make it real basic. If you invest, like we do, a large portion of our W-2 income into our 401k, then we get a tax break because it looks like we made less that year.
Mm-hmm. And but if you're investing in assets,
so like
say like real estate, then you get tax
depreciation.
But if you're making a good amount of money, but not enough to invest, do that
stuff,
then you're hit the hardest when it's
that's wild.
Comes tax time. Right. Tax time.
Right. Let's keep going.
So in America, we've decided to try and create a super class of billionaires. And then if they win the gold medal, we're going to give them the silver and the bronze. Two biggest tax deductions, capital gains and mortgage interest. Who owns homes and stocks? People my age. Who doesn't know? Who rents and makes their money from current income? Young people. So,
what's your thoughts on that, Shire? We've often discussed how it's going to be different for young people, right? And here you have a gentleman who's set the scene, Shire. What does he look like? 60?
Okay, he's an older gentleman.
Older gentleman.
I think he's actually a professor.
He's saying, yo, man, we got it a little bit easier than the generations to come, man. And I think he's going to really get into why. But what are your thoughts on just that right there? You know, I know we've talked about it a few times, but. And he explains why, even in that little clip, how they're giving these benefits to older people. Older people or people who, I mean, we're not older, but we made a conscious decision to do something that isn't the norm. To be able to invest in those classes, usually only, you know, that's reserved for, you know, 40, 50, 60 year olds. Whereas a 20 year old person is not going to be able to invest all that to get those benefits. So it kind of is set up for them to like kind of get screwed a little bit. And for older people to get more breaks. What you think?
I mean, I think I need to hear a little bit more.
Okay, let's keep going. Let's keep going. Yeah. All right, let's go.
Okay.
So we've decided that the wealthiest people in the world should get exceptionally more wealthy. Minimum wage stuck at 925. Stock market is screamed up. The average 70-year-old is 72% wealthier than they were 40 years ago. The average person under the age of 40 is 24% less wealthy. We are purposely transferring more wealth from the poor and middle class to the upper class to the super rich and from young to old.
And you say in the book, which is true and alarming, but a 30-year-old American in America right now is doing no better than his or her parents. Then that's a new thing in American history that you would think over time, you know, we want to do better than the next generation, than the last generation. It's not happening anymore.
Okay.
I think it all ties
there because I mean,
pretty profound.
That's something that we can think about and talk about because usually it's, you know, especially in our community, it's, you know, my kids are going to go further than me.
Yeah.
And, you know, according to this, what they're saying now, and they have some graphs on the screen, you know, and all of that. And they're saying that the first time in American history, a lot of young adults are not doing as good as their parents.
Yeah, and I think he's going to probably get to it, but I think one of the reasons that jump out to me, Shire, is education. You know, we make it personal and look at my aunt's uncle's parents. They all were what you consider, I mean, they retired on time, most of them now.
Early.
You know, they made great wages.
Had great careers.
And I think I have one uncle with a junior college associate's degree, all the rest high school graduates. Now to have that same earning that they had, the equivalent, you need at least a bachelor's, probably a master's. So now you're just earning the same equivalent, kind of living the same similar lifestyle as them, but you've had to go into an extra $100,000 of debt to get there. So it makes sense why the younger people, they're not living like their parents. The parents could get that lifestyle without the $100,000 debt. So that right there is a game changer.
I don't know why you went to $100,000 worth of debt, but
Shire thinks that, sorry to cut you off, Shire thinks because she went to school frugally that's how most Americans do.
I don't think the average debt is a six figure. I don't think
for a master's degree yet. Total. So we're going to total master's degree. That means you went to junior college or you went to straight to bachelor's and got your master's. That's not $100,000.
I mean, it could be. It just depends. But I think
let's check the numbers.
I think that we should, but I know a couple of Well, this is probably outdated, but a few years ago, it was the average student loan debt was around 30K. Gotcha. So I'm curious to see what it is now. But even that is a huge barrier.
Yeah. Especially with the way the interest is set up on those payments.
Yeah.
It's different. It hits different.
Yeah. But what they're also talking about is the tax code.
Mm-hmm.
Benefiting.
Yes.
The rich.
Yes.
I know we've all heard the richer are getting richer.
The rich is richer.
The poor are getting poorer. Yeah. And I think that what Democrats are doing is putting a band-aid.
Yes. Over, we got to talk about it.
Over
this political season. We got to talk about it.
Over this, you know, this gaping wound. Yes. That's just gushing out.
They're treating the symptoms.
Blood. I hope no one's eating, right? Let's just put a band-aid over this. Here, let's do student loan debt forgiveness. That's a band-aid that you're putting on a broken system.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that we need systems change in order to really impact people's lives. And we need an educated society.
Yes.
Like this barrier to education, I mean, other countries are outdoing us. Other countries are, young people are smarter than us, you know? And I don't think that education should be seen as a luxury. I think in order to have a productive society, there shouldn't be this huge barrier when it comes to education.
No.
That harms all of us.
Yeah. Start by, like you said, limiting. Maybe you take all the schools and, you know.
Mark, did you UC come up with solutions?
Yeah, take all the schools in the UC system or whatever and make a mandate that set a limit on how much they can charge their student body or something like.
Oh, you like can, state schools.
State schools. It can't be no more than this for a degree, for this degree or whatever, you know.
I don't even know if that, because whatever that limit is, that's what they're going to charge, right?
Well, hey.
And so, It's complex. We're not going to solve the problem in a 30-minute podcast, but I think it's a very valid point.
An 18-year-old can walk into a bank and get a student loan. He ain't got to walk in the bank. He can sit on his computer and get a student loan for $50,000, but can't get $50,000, no other type of loan.
Well, that's crazy. That's because the bank's not just going to give that to you, because the bank knows.
Thank you.
The bank knows you'd have a hard time being able to pay that back if you don't have no income, but the government says, we'll give it to you.
Yeah.
But anywho, let's continue.
Let's continue. I'm going to go back just a smidget here.
Generation than the last generation. It's not happening anymore.
I think it all ties into what we're talking about on campuses. For the first time in our nation's history, a 30-year-old man or woman isn't doing as well as his or her parents were at 30. That is the social compact breaking down. People aged 30 to 34, 60% of them in 1990 had one child. Now it's 27%. People are opting out of America. They're not optimistic about it. They're not having kids. Young people aren't having sex. They're not meeting. They're not mating. The pool of emotionally and economically viable men shrinks every day, which lessens house.
you can rewind that. He said the pool of what?
Let's run it back a little taste. I want to hear that again.
The pool of emotionally and economically viable men shrinks every day.
Wow.
Break that down. Break that down so I can understand that.
Thank you. We have been talking about that in our community,
mm-hmm.
on our private conversations, mm-hmm. on our black dating shows, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm.
The number of men who, he said emotionally and economically, he said viable?
Like viable, yeah.
Available, right? Yeah. Available, like you're available for a relationship. Mm-hmm. That he said that pool is shrinking every day.
Mm.
Now, he's not a person of color.
Well, he didn't. We going to bring it to black just because it's what we do.
See, but
he's talking about men overall.
That's my point. Yeah. That we think it's just within our own community.
Right.
But this is an American phenomenon that are happening in other cultures too. Because a lot of times, especially like, sorry, y'all. I'll be watching dating shows.
Mm-hmm.
We are quick to say, well, you know, in this culture, they don't have to worry about their men, blah, blah, blah. But
look, he just proved it wrong.
He just proved that wrong. Mm-hmm. That guess what? There's a lot of American men who are struggling. He said they're not meeting. They're not mating.
People aren't mating.
they're not, you know.
That's crazy. That's wild.
So,
but
there's something going on here.
Sure. It goes back to some of our earlier conversations on this podcast. What are the main, how many times have we had this as a topic? What are the main causes for divorce and breakup? And it's money. So if it's a main cause for divorce and breakup, once folks are married, money issues or not having money, imagine not having money before the doggone marriage, or the lack of money, or not, you know what I mean?
That's going to prevent you from even getting with each other.
Yeah. You stressing over money. You're stressing over, dang, do I want to take, you looking at a mate as a potential liability to your already
fragile situation,
fragile financial situation. So this is crazy. And I think it makes sense though, Shire, because I see so many, like even friends or people I know or cousins or whoever, I'm like, man, this is, you know, like this is a catch. You know, I know there's somebody who would like him. But they ain't made it shake yet. Or you see a young lady, you're like, man, what's wrong with her? She looks cool. She seems great. Like, why can't they? And it's like, there, you have good people, not to quote President Trump, but you have good people on both sides, but there's this chasm in between them. And it doesn't, you're always like, well, what? I don't know what it is. I think money is maybe bigger than we think it is, Shire. I think it may be more.
I don't know, man.
Social media probably ain't helping. I think it's not helping at all, right?
I don't know.
We got too much access to stuff now, man. We see too much. Why would I get with this person that seems cool and is a six and seems like they make decent money or whatever? I'm doing it for both sides. As a guy, why would I get with this six or seven that I see, this girl that's cute? Women, why would I get with this guy that makes the American average salary for a man when I go on my social media and I'm seeing sevens, eights, nines, and tens
on my phone
and the ladies are seeing cats balling out? I don't want to settle for the person that's in my city that's just cool. You know what I'm saying? So I'm saying we have too much access. Social media gives us too, we feel, how many times you told me, Marcus, you don't know Kev on stage. I'm like, nah, he my cousin. Like, I've been seeing him for 10 years. He don't know you and you don't know him. It's like, I guess you're right. But I have so much access to him, I feel like I know him. So anyway, what you think?
Yeah, I think social media plays into our beliefs around dating, who we should date, what we should be looking for in a mate. But they say wake up and smell the coffee. Mm-hmm. You know, what is your reality? That should be the focus.
We're overlooking our reality because we're too busy being consumed by, I don't know the word for non-reality, but we're too busy consumed by virtual reality. It's like we're waiting for that to see that in real life. Years add up, boom, boom, boom. Now I'm 30 something, no kids. And like he said, people are not even mating at this point. If there's one thing humans used to be able to do was knock boots. Now we can't even do that. That's crazy. Okay, let's keep going.
Anyway, guys, you get on. Just go ahead. Let's
keep going.
Which lessens household formation. So we have a real issue. Young people are enraged. So it turns every cut, every movement into an opportunistic infection because, quite frankly, they are just pissed off. They look up, they see wealth, exceptional wealth across my generation and people in certain industries, and they are really struggling. Their purchasing power is going down, and the incumbents create artificial scarcity on campus. We take pride in rejecting 90% of our applicants. So the incumbents who already have a degree see their degree go up in value. We get very concerned with housing and traffic once we own the housing. Housing permits are sequestered from young people. Housing prices have gone from $290 to $420 in the last 4 years. So a young person, a house, stocks that I don't own skyrocket in value. Let's have COVID relief and flush the markets and take assets way up, because if a million people dying would be bad, would be tragic if I got less wealthy. And we're doing it on their credit card. Young people have every reason to be enraged, and every issue they see, they look up, they get angry, and they see someone doing better than them. And then every day it is speedballed in their face that they are failing, that they are not doing as well as everyone around them. We have lost the script. Our kids are more anxious and more depressed and more obese and more addicted. And we have made a purposeful decision to let this happen by ensuring the people around this table stay wealthy at the cost of young people.
Wow.
Shire, he really said a lot there. I want to unpack real quick. I think he pretty much
threw the kitchen sink at us.
He hit us with everything. He hit us with a combination of punches. I think in a roundabout way, he just described some of these communities that we see, predominantly red pill community, where it stems from frustration, mm-hmm. right? And he's saying that frustration is the root of the frustration is money. What do you mean, Marcus? We always lament like, man, women only want dudes with money. They only want dudes with money, man. This is the red pills. This is their origin story. Man, all these women want is dudes with money, man. So you know what we're going to do, fellas? We about to just get this money. That's all. We just locking in. We become high value men. then they got to do what they want us to do, or what we want them to do. And it's all this vitriol and toxicity in that community as they, quote, make themselves into high value. But what did we miss? And now it's them versus them. But what did we miss? The root, the foundation of it was money. If money was in abundance, or yeah, let's just say if money was in abundance, it wouldn't be no, man, I feel like all women want is money. Well, if you got it, you wouldn't even be upset that that's what they want, right? If that's what you think. So again, I think the root of it is money. And the lack thereof. See, the love of money, the Bible says, is the root of all evil. But I've come to make an addendum. I believe the lack of money is the root of all evil. That's where a lot of vitriol stems from. You know what I mean? So what do you think about that? Shara's blinking her eyes. She's looking at me like she disagrees.
I'm just listening.
Okay.
You know, yeah, I mean, I think that's he's saying some of that. He's saying
I may have took some liberties.
Are looking around, and
which is what we were just saying on the social media tip.
I mean, well, yeah. I mean, where else are they looking?
Yeah.
Or maybe it could be in their own family. I mean, we talked about your family and how your dynamic was. How there are people who are doing very well. They don't have a bachelor's or a master's, but they still made out very well. So it's probably not just social media. But what he's saying is basically that what he's saying is that there's some systems and policies in place that are making it very difficult for young people to get ahead.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, they're frustrated.
Yes.
It's impacting, you know, not just their ability to build wealth over time, but it's impacting their social life.
Yes.
It's impacting them emotionally.
Come on, Shire.
Stop.
You preaching. I'm sorry. You're right.
I mean, that's what I'm hearing. And it's really interesting to have an older person say it, mm-hmm. because a lot of times on social media, you hear younger generations.
The generation complaining.
Right?
You're like, man, shut up.
You know?
Yeah.
So you hear them, it coming from them.
Right, right.
But now you have an older person saying, you know what? Actually, you know, I'm a professor. I wrote this book. I've studied,
mm-hmm.
and I'm here. I can validate what they're saying.
Yes, baby. And I like that, because as we talk on this podcast and as the years begin to build on how long we've been doing this, I don't even want to get into a place where, like, you're just talking to the same audience and you're moving up and they're moving up with you. While that could be happening,
it's definitely happening.
Yeah, but I want to understand the generation that's a bit behind that generation and understand their story, their plight.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because if not, we're going to be just like the people he's talking about, the older generation that's like, his head's in the clouds. A lot of people talk about Dave Ramsey, and it's like, bro, you're so far behind on as far as like what the younger, the pulse of the young people that like, mm-hmm. you really think everything you're saying still applies to just blanket, applies to everybody. But here is this generation where they're like, they got a whole bunch of things that are thrown at them that you're not even relating to. So I at least want to be able to relate. So yeah, you're right. It's good to hear this guy really kind of break this down. And it makes me worry for my kids, honestly, because they're even a generation behind the generation he's talking about. So it's just like, dang, man, hopefully we got to figure this whole thing out before, you know, it gets to my kids' era. You know, that's kind of selfishly, that's what I'm thinking. But, you know, me and my friend, we talk about how, Shire, we don't know the effects of social media yet.
There's a lot of research that says it's not very good.
It's not going to be good. But we don't have the decades of data yet, right? It's only still like 10 years, 15 years old. But at 20, 30 years, when it has fully had a whole generation to like jack people up, what will those people be like by just the pressure and the, you know...
Well, I don't know. You know what? Social media is, to a child, is a luxury. And it's really up to the parents.
I like that.
To monitor that.
Mm-hmm. Ration it.
And to be the gatekeepers of that.
Amen.
You know, we have little kids, of course. I mean, they've done a couple of YouTube videos with us, you know, back in the day. Mm-hmm. But they're not on social media, but they do have their things that they like to do online. Their little
apps.
You know, so it is really up to us. It's not for the parents to sit back and then watch a generation become messed up and say, wow, what happened? I think that if you want to know what the research says, it's really out there.
Yeah.
And I think even what he's saying speaks to that. Facts. Now, I do want to say that I respect his perspective, but I don't feel the need. Okay, Marcus is giving me this look. He's giving me the look, you guys. Good.
I would hear that.
I don't feel the need to receive everything that he's saying as if he's speaking into my life, because he is not. He is talking in generalities, right?
This is the duality of Shire.
Yeah, okay.
I like that.
That's fine. Keep going. I do hear what he's saying, but I'm just saying that when I look at my life, I don't think I'll ever be able to accomplish what my parents are able to accomplish. My life is very, very much so different from my parents. Mm-hmm. And I'm hoping that if we, you know, stay on the straight and narrow, you know, Lord willing, you know, our children will have opportunities that we didn't have.
Yes.
And there will be some doors open to them that weren't necessarily open to us. Now, will they be in the top 1%? I don't know. But I will say that my goal is to raise well-rounded children. Mm-hmm. And while money is important, who they are, building up their character, and I mean, there's just a lot that goes into parenting and raising well-rounded children.
Yeah.
I also think that, yeah, wealth is important, but relationships. I think that's an area, relationships, mentorship, that's just not really happening.
Yeah. You know, Shire, the only thing that comes to mind, and I agree with you about the kids, the only thing that comes to mind is this. You're going to have to choose a hard choice, because the option to just be mediocre and still have a decent life, I believe it will almost be gone for our kids. What are you saying, Marcus? When I was graduating high school, it was still, I'm old enough to where it was an option if you wanted to go to college, if you wanted to do some college.
Was it really an option? Sorry. Okay, your parents presented it to you as an option.
The reason why we had that little awkward pause, because Shire believes that you know,
it should not have been an option.
It should not have been an option.
Well, I feel
I'm
like
I'm speaking my truth.
Okay, go ahead. Well, okay, but it was an option based on their lived experience.
Yes.
Right. Okay. Sorry. Go ahead.
But it, why do I say it was an option, Shire? It was an option to, man, hey, you could take a what do they call it, Shire? Such and such year. What do they call it?
A gap year.
I could take a gap year, or you know, you could figure out what you want to do. You got to admit, okay, maybe it wasn't an option to not go to college.
There's nothing wrong with a gap year.
But Shire, I want you to, because Shire very much so lives in the moment. Go back to 2000.
Okay.
Okay. The year 2000, Y2K, that era.
Uh-huh.
It was, yes, go to college, but there was a lot more, it was loosey-goosey. Like, you could take a gap year. You could start off at junior college and take a couple classes. It was a lot of that energy amongst my graduating class. It wasn't like how it is now. Like, everybody knows when I get out of high school, I'm going straight to such and such, or I'm going for this. The smart people like you, Shire, was on that before I think it was in mass thought like that. So that's why you're kind of like, I was always thinking college. You were in that top echelon.
Well, it depends on, yeah.
All the folks underneath you, the 90% of people not like you, was like, I go to some college, I might start working. Right. I might just start working. I might just work with my father. It was more options. And you had, the reason why it was options like that, Shire, because my first living situation was $550. And I had a roof over my head. I had a $1,500 car. And I had a slightly above minimum wage job.
Right.
And that was mediocre, but I was still, I wasn't living as big as everybody, but I had what the wealthy had. I had a house, car, job. And yes. And I was cool. What I'm thinking is, and I'm sorry I'm going a little long, the kids won't have that mediocre option. It's either going to be you on the street or you're wealthy, rich, high six-figure earning job.
So you're saying that that's how you think the society will...
That's where we're headed. And by the time our kids are 20, which would probably be 10 years from now, it's going to be like that. There's no middle. There's no, I live in a such and such one-bedroom apartment.
What you're speaking of is a shrinking middle class.
Absolutely.
And that is very scary.
Scary.
But I will say that...
I think our kids can do it.
I think that what you were told shaped the choices that you made.
Yeah.
You're given an option. Hey, you go to school, you work.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to live in this house, basically.
Yep.
So you got a job, you would pay your parents rent.
Yes.
For me, I always knew I was going to go to college.
Right.
And I, you know, was in a single parent home. And hey.
Shire making fun of me. Her brother did the same thing I did.
What?
So it's not like.
Who?
Your brother did this pretty much saw
talking about
life after high school like me. So I think you were special in the, you were very focused. But go ahead, keep going.
Don't
tell me what you did.
Now family members.
Well, what I'm saying is
that was a fun podcast.
Shire, is you're on the fence of everybody just knew to go to college. And I'm trying to just tell you like, no, people our age, you were special.
Well, I'm also saying that if you grow up in a certain, you know, single parent home, you grew up with two parents. So. You know, you want more in life, you know?
Okay.
So
I feel what
you're
saying.
Like, you know, when I grow up, I don't want to have to struggle, or I don't want, you know, so I'm going to go to school. And that was seen as a pathway
to get what you wanted, you know?
So that's how I thought of it. I thought but that's how a lot of people thought, and a lot of people are on the flip side, finding out, well, I went to college and I'm still not making the money I thought I was going to make.
Facts.
So,
yeah.
Anywho, I think that we're both saying the same thing, right?
Yes, for sure.
But let's continue.
Let's keep going. I think you got some more gems up in here for us.
So, Scott, what the social element of that's the economic element, the social elements that you mentioned. The happiness, the anxiety, all of those things, the kids aren't getting together anymore, that they're not having kids. What happened in one generation? Social media has to play a role in it, I'm sure. But what else do you see that has created this climate for this generation?
I think you have the most talented, well-resourced people in the world and companies trying to convince a young man that he can have a reasonable facsimile of life in his basement behind a screen. You don't need friends. Go on Reddit or Discord. You don't need to get a job. Go on Robinhood or Coinbase and trade crypto and stocks. You don't need to go through the rejection and the expense and the humiliation and working out and having a plan and humor and showering to get a romantic relationship. You have YouPorn. So we have an entire generation, especially of young men, who are out home sequestering from society and missing out on what it means. You know, there's a reason romantic comedies are 2 hours and not 15 minutes. True victory in life is hard. Going out, meeting someone, finding mentors, finding mates, that stuff is hard, but that's what real victory in real life is like. And because a lot of men feel rejected on dating apps, the number of jobs that are accessible to them has gone down. You have essentially a group of men who are saying, I want a low-risk entry into life, and they go down a rabbit hole. When they don't have social connections, and they don't get out, and they don't have the prospect of a romantic relationship, they're more prone to conspiracy theory, they're more prone to misogynistic content, they're less likely to believe in climate change, and some, they become really bad citizens. We are producing too many of the most dangerous person in the world, and that is a young, broke, and lonely young man.
Man, this boy bodied that one.
Wow.
He bodied that.
Wow.
I'm without speech. I have no speech.
Well, he's speaking to
mankind.
So, I mean,
I have so much to think to get to say. I often joke about my son. And I say, I had never hung out with you when I was your age. And
why is that? You need to give
I
more
just
context.
Feel like he's this guy said it all. And the young people have so much. Lord, there's just so much I want to say. Shira, when we were kids, we used to have to figure out how to have fun. When your mom wouldn't let you go outside, you started going stir crazy. You started thinking, I got to do this, or maybe I'll play board games, or maybe I'll watch TV, or maybe I'll da-da-da-da.
We talked on the phone.
Talk on the phone. It was torture when you could not go outside, because that was the only thing that was fun, was outside, other friends, weather, getting scratched up, ball, playing basketballs, bikes. Outside was where fun was.
Yes.
Now, inside, non-communal, by yourself, is the new fun.
Example, case in point, and we love our kids, but we were out and about, and you know, our son's birthday is coming up, and we were like, where do you want to go eat? He's like, I want pizza. And it's like, okay, well, do you want to go inside?
Just seeing other people eat, other people talk, other people breathing.
Yeah. And like, you can even get like one of those personal pizzas where you choose your toppings.
Yes.
He's like, no. I'm like, okay, well, what do you want to do? He's like, I want to eat at home. I said, okay, well, do you want to go, you know, in the backyard?
Go on the patio, you know what I mean? Have a conversation with each other?
And eat. He was like, no, I just rather be inside the house.
I'm just like, dude. So this guy put a battery in my back to make sure that my son doesn't go down that rabbit hole. You know, he's not there yet, but
no,
I could see how kids, this generation is doing it.
But everything that you described, going outside, playing, doing sports. Well, nowadays, a lot of those opportunities to be social, they don't happen organically. So parents have to pay for those experiences.
Come on, Sean. So, you're proud to preach now.
Like, you know, our son, he's in karate. Okay. He goes to karate several times a week. And I really love karate because they do teach, you know, not just the moves, and, you know, how to, you know, I say you have to be a protector. You have to know how to defend yourself, your family. But they're also teaching discipline and also some social skills as well, which I really do appreciate. But it's expensive. What if I didn't have the money to pay for that?
Yes.
And I think that a lot of, you know, parents, we want our kids to have experiences with other children. But it costs money. It's not free anymore. Yeah. Or it's not low cost in many cases anymore.
Exactly, Shire. But back in the day, it would, to speak to the how organic it would be, is you knew where it was lit, where the most bikes was parked outside. Oh, they all at so-and-so's house. I got like three bikes there. It's lit. Or you would go from door to door to door gathering your crew to go to the school to hoop.
asking, oh, can so-and-so come outside? Can so-and-so
come outside? And you had to speak to people's mamas, and you had to be polite. And even when you called on the phone, the dad might pick up, and you had to, hello, sir, may I speak to such and such? You were talking to people. I even had to tell the kids, because they're finally getting their telephone etiquette up. Hey, y'all, will you pick up the phone? Say hello.
Say something.
You don't just pick up the phone.
Right.
And wait for the other person to talk.
How long did it take for them to realize to actually put the phone up to their ear?
Because
that was such a foreign concept. Maybe they used to speakerphone. But in this video, he's talking about grown.
He's talking about grown men.
He's not talking
men,
about
child.
Little children. He is talking about grown
Thank
men.
You for 1985.
Excuse me, spinning. Oh,
Thank
I said.
You. I'm so glad I was born in the 80s. Sorry, Sha, I'm sorry to cut you off. Keep going.
Oh, did you hear me say, excuse me?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Good,
I didn't good. Mean it in a mean way, but that just came out.
No, go ahead.
As if we haven't been interrupting each other. Anyway, I'm sorry. Okay, so he's talking about grown men spending their lives behind a screen, working behind a screen, having their social interactions behind a screen, frustrated that they can't, find someone on their dating apps. Because I hear like the top looking guys get like most of the pings,
yes,
or whatever it's called. And if you're an average guy, good luck.
Good luck. So
feeling frustrated about that. And so you turn to conspiracy theories. Mm-hmm. And just
all women are the modern woman is the devil.
I mean,
all this stuff.
Yeah, but conspiracy theories is very broad. It's,
yes,
it's not just about interactions with women, but around the government, around
you're essentially creating weirdos. You're
Whoa,
having
Marcus, that's no, not a polite thing to say.
Shy, the system is creating a bunch of weird people that we, based on our metrics, we would classify them as weirdos. You're in a room, you're like, sorry to be crude, you look at porn all day and you never leave the house and your blinds are closed. Those are weirdos.
Okay, but there has to be another word for antisocial.
Antisocial.
Okay. I don't know.
But
this
anyway,
is crazy.
He said, that's a dangerous man. Most of your trigger warning, no pun intended, but most of your mass shootings are done by people that fit this description. If you really think about it, conspiracy theorists.
That's what he's saying.
Yes.
Because there's something that there's a battery in your back, whether it's bullying.
Yeah.
So you're being bullied or you're antisocial. So people are picking on you because you don't have the social skills, or could be a number. I mean, people are just mean.
Yeah.
Could be a number of reasons. Or you've gone down a rabbit hole,
Yeah, it's just dangerous. It's
scary.
What would you always say, Shire? You used to say something about the kids as to why you wanted to keep them active. What was that? I think it's profound.
My friend, one of my Indian friends when I was in college, she said, an idle mind is the devil's playground.
We was raised on that. I don't know if that's scripture or African proverb or what that is.
I said she was Indian. She's from India.
Yeah.
An idle mind is the devil's playground. I said, I'm going to keep my kids active.
Yes.
You're going to be doing something.
That saying was everything growing up. I ain't letting these kids just sit around. That's when they start picking up stuff. So they will always let you go play, tell you to get outside. And now we've let that idle thing create what it's creating, and it's just it's unfortunate. Like, all right, so Shire, for instance, I get to work from home, right, 4 days a week, and one day a week I go into the office, and I go into an empty office. So let's just say 5 days a week I'm pretty much looking at two computer screens for 8-9 hours a day, and there's no interaction.
Yeah, imagine being single doing that.
Imagine single doing that. I have to go to the gym. I have to see people. I have to see humans. I have to go to Starbucks and sit and get a refresher. But I sit in there for about 35, 40 minutes. I have to just see people doing their thing because I just feel weird without it.
Well, you have to interact with people.
I have to interact.
I mean, you just describe people watching.
No. You dapping up people. You giving them the head nod. And you saying what's up. So, yeah, there's definitely interactions there. You're saying, excuse me. You're opening doors for people. So, yes, you do have to interact, but you got to create those worlds where that happens. And if you're a depressed human, you're probably going to just keep going down that rabbit hole.
You got to meet somebody. Go to a meetup. Get out the house. Go to church. I mean, yeah. I don't know. Who? Okay.
No, you're right, Shia. You're right. Let's keep going. We're almost there.
Why is it that so many of these young people that you're talking about seem to head into life after going to 4-year schools or 2-year schools or whatever, head into life with a lack of financial literacy? They don't know anything about money or the growth of money. All they know is the absence of
money. Can we pause here?
I think we need to have...
It's fine to talk about financial literacy, but nothing that he described...
I got to have money to be literate on it.
Nothing. And I think it came out in the comments too, because once they throw that financial literacy piece, it tells
you... It's on me now.
It's your fault, right?
It's on me now.
It's your fault that you are where you are in life, right?
Yeah.
And so that's kind of what we were talking about with that initial Dave Ramsey clip.
Yes.
You know, I think that we're heading to a place in society.
Victim blaming.
Victim blaming. You're playing the shame game. Mm-hmm. I think that we're in a place in society where it's a little bit more a nuance than that.
Yes.
And I think that that's what this guy was hitting at. And then all of a sudden you want to come in with an older person, somebody older than him.
He old and gray.
Comes in with the whole financial literacy piece. And of course they're going to talk about, well, it's important to have financial literacy in school. And it is. And I don't want to downplay that. But I do feel that the commentary that has been provided to date and the issues that have come out, he's saying were created by the generation prior.
Yes.
And that's... While there's some connection to financial literacy, it's not the main point that he was trying to drive home, in my opinion.
Absolutely. All right, let's check it out.
Absence of money.
I think we need to have in our curriculums in high school a class on adulting. My kid can do integers and basic calculus, but he doesn't understand the interest on his credit card. Mm. So there's just some basic kind of financial literacy that we're not teaching. And when you start replacing civics with computer science, you lose a sense of the country and you start learning about programming. And when you don't talk about basic financial literacy or even mating, I would like to see in the senior year of college mating dynamics and help men understand and women what is unique to them and their vulnerabilities to social media. I was talking about the challenges of men from social media. At exactly the wrong time in a young girl's life, she is presented with a valuation where she never gets to leave the high school cafeteria 24/7. And as my colleague Jonathan Hyde has pointed out, we've seen a dramatic uptick in suicide. But I think effectively we just don't have basic skills for young people. We're teaching them advanced things, but we're not teaching them the basics around what a mortgage is, what interest rates mean. So I think we could use just a basic class on adulting, junior or senior year.
Hey everyone, MSNBC.
Yeah. He talked about understanding mortgage interest rates, but at the same time was also saying that we can't even get there.
Yeah.
We haven't even got there. And I do want to read one of the comments.
Let's go through some of the comments, yeah.
Because I didn't like that shift. I really
didn't. That's how you put a button on it and blame the victim and then move on and close it out.
Someone says, this is not about financial literacy. It's about justice. The only country in the world with a financial system that actively looks to leverage the need for education to exploit students just starting out. What country parents or grandparents do that? And then someone says, exactly, previous generations didn't need financial literacy. The government and companies would look after them. Mm. Great pensions, great work opportunities. They never needed to know how to calculate compound interest.
Thank you. We got this advanced calculus degree in financial literacy now. When my parents and grandparents didn't know, if I asked my grandpa to describe interest and all this and what compound interest is, he would look at me crazy. But he, right. I know he got retired from the state with a nice house.
Right. Someone said, I groaned as soon as they shifted to blaming the victim, as if the host knew about that stuff when they were young, 50 years ago. But anywho... In general, I mean, what are some of your general thoughts on the segment and
I like conversation? I like this guy. You know, his energy level was not. I'm not happy about nothing I'm talking about. You know what I'm saying? This ain't no fun stuff. And you know, you kind of hinted that I've been a bit grumpy as far as the subject matter of the podcast and like just kind of like the overall thoughts on the economy and I feel a little bit like, gosh, it's we can't win for losing. Can't get right. You know what I mean? So it's kind of hard for me to come on and, you know, talk about, you know, like talk like everything is incredible when it's really not. It's really not. What I said about Usher is that we made a hard decision before we needed to. We started storing up our food for the winter when the weather was good. And it was only that because we decided to do that, that we're not swallowed, to quote T.D. Jakes' meme, swallowed now. Because we said in 2017, you want to just, we should try to pay off our debts. Before that was even cool or popular, or maybe we should learn about finance. Before that was a cool, trendy genre like it is now, we decided to do that. Because we did that, that's the only reason why we're literally prospering now. And so it's hard for me to come on and be like, yeah, y'all just do what we did and this and that. When I know in the back of my mind that if I would have waited 2 years to do what I did, or if I would have waited 3 years to do what I did, or if I was to just start doing that today, it'd be an uphill challenge. So I think this guy is pretty much exuding that energy too. Y'all, I really ain't got the answers, but all I can do is tell you we got an uphill battle here. And that's not really fun to come on and, you know, be all excited and happy about, you know, sometime.
Well, I haven't lost hope.
Come on, Shire. Come on, Miss Hope.
I'm still very optimistic about.
And that's why we need each other.
The future.
Mm-hmm.
What I can do. What mm-hmm. can be done.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you know, we went on a journey to pay off our debt.
Mm-hmm.
And that was difficult.
Yes.
But we did it.
We did it.
Now, if that bell, you know, just went off this year and we said, okay, let's pay off our debt, we could do it. And it would still be difficult. You know, but I think
you believe in you. You believe in
me. I think good things are still happening. And okay. I think that I think that that window hasn't completely shut.
Okay.
Where people can work hard and still make something of themselves and still do the things that they want to do in life. So I am hopeful. And I kind of said this earlier that, you know, he's talking in very broad terms.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of our children will go on to do even greater things than us. And I think that we have a responsibility to instill hope into our children that, you know what, God has a plan for your life. And I can't tell you what it is,
yeah,
but I know it's great.
Yes, I like that, Shire. I like that. You know, I need a little bit more of that. I need a little bit more of that positive mindset.
How could you be negative thinking about how far you've come?
Come on, Shire.
You talked about your $500 apartment, which y'all don't know is that he had me living up in there with him. And when I look back over my life, I cannot help but be grateful, right?
Yes.
And also to say that, you know, you're not able to make the strides that we've been able to make in every country.
Right. That's true.
So I can speak from my own self and my own lived experience. And that is, you know, you do got to work hard. It's not easy.
Mm-hmm.
But I haven't lost hope as far as my life and that concerning my kids and even those listening.
Yes. I love that, Shire. I agree with you. I agree with you. You convinced me. I agree with you. Well, Shire, this has been a good episode. A nice little long episode. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, we just was talking, y'all.
Yeah.
Like, you still here? Thank you.
Man, well, we hope y'all enjoyed this episode. If you did, do us a huge favor. Leave us a 5-star review on whatever podcast platform you're listening to this on. It really helps us. And we're gonna holler at y'all on the next.